Hey, everybody, it's Rick. And if you're enjoying the Vertafore Insurance podcast, you should definitely check out Accelerate, powered by NetView. This is our huge InsurTech conference happening in April of 2020. And it is the event to attend for everything from networking, thought leadership, learning how to grow your agency, meeting new technology partners, and much, much more. Accelerate is happening in Minneapolis from April 29th through May 2nd. And you can learn more at www.netviewaccelerate.com. That's all one word, netviewaccelerate.com.
Welcome to the Vertafore Insurance Podcast with Rick Fox. We're here to talk about the industry with some of its biggest influencers. From technology, trends, and current events, if it's happening in insurance, you'll hear about it here. Make sure to tune in every week and join in on the conversation with us on social media at Vertafore. And now, here's Rick Fox.
Hey, everybody. It's Rick Fox, host of the Vertafore Insurance Podcast, the VIP. This week, we're taking a week off from our normal podcasting, but we are bringing you a really, really good treat. It is a recorded version, a audio version of a live video roundtable webinar that we did about 2 months ago with a star-studded cast. We have Ryan Deeds, Chris Klein, Joyce Sigler, our own Sharmila Ray, and of course, yours truly, the host. I also host that. We're popping that in right now. It is great listening. For those of you that are following us on social, you should have seen the permission slip that we sent out that you can get signed. Similar to what you might do during March Madness when you're trying to get out of work to watch those games. This one's to get away from the in-laws. If you need a little bit of a break, get the permission slip signed, take a break, go listen to this really informative, content-filled one-hour webinar. So download the episode before you get on the road to travel for the holiday weekend. Sneak away and listen to it. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. Thanks, everybody. Have a great Thanksgiving. Welcome, everybody, to the Connecting the Dots webinar. I am Rick Fox, the host, VP of Agency Associations Networks here at Vertafore, and I am really excited about the panel that we put together, and let me explain why. So the idea here that we're going to be the conversation is going to be around connectivity and connection. So what we wanted to do is go out and get someone from pretty much every area of that landscape. So we brought in agency people, carrier people. We brought in someone from our internal team. We brought in industry expert. So without any further ado, I want to get into the conversation. But before we do that, the best thing to do is to do a quick introduction of everyone and get everybody's videos up and get them unmuted so we can rock and roll this thing. So first off, Chris Klein, distribution leader at Westfield Group. He's been there since 1994. Chris is also the host of, and he said this, I can't validate it, but the award-winning Closing the Gap podcast. I've listened to it. It feels award-winning, but I'll have to get what award that is. Chris, welcome to the show. Chris is muted. We'll wait till him to get up and get live. My friend, there he is. There's Chris. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Hey, thank you so much, Rick. Hey, thanks for having us.
Shameless.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, wouldn't do it any other way. But just as a sidebar to validate, the award was the IMCA, so the Insurance Marketing Communications Association. The podcast received an award of excellence.
I love
there
it.
This you know summer, what? So we were pretty stoked.
Well deserved. Next up, I have Ryan Deeds, my man, Ryan Deeds. He's just chilling. He's got a pillow behind his head, as everyone who knows him would know. Ryan's VP of Technology at AssureX Global. He also has his own podcast, the Digital Broker Podcast. Another excellent listen. As those of you that are out there listening to this, I'm guessing you are people that are looking for information about this industry. Chris's podcast and Ryan's podcast are excellent places to get that information. Ryan does not have a giant Westfield banner in the back like Chris does for his company, but Ryan can prove it with his AssureX Global tattoo that he has on his arm. So he wins that battle. Ryan, welcome to the show. Glad to have you, man.
Hey, thanks, brother. I appreciate it. It's fun to be here.
Yeah. Next up, Joyce Sigler, VP and System Admin at Jones Wenner Insurance in Cleveland. Joyce, you also were a committee member, chairperson with NetView for a while, right?
That is correct.
Yeah. Joyce, thanks for being here. We get a great carrier perspective. I know Joyce is very well thought of in this industry and has will have a lot to add to this. And then finally, not finally, because just as important as everyone else here, is our internal resource, Sharmila Ray. Sharmila is just recently moved into Carrier Solutions Strategy Leader here at Vertafore, which is really exciting that not only we have Sharmila in that position, but that we are taking that much of an emphasis on heading in that direction. She was a consultant with McKinney & Company for 12 years, went to Wellesley, which I think is one of the most beautiful colleges in the country, and will add a perspective from the vendor side. So Sharmila, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for having me. Excited for this conversation.
Let me kind of set the table here before we jump into the questions. For me, the way this kind of plays out, we talk about connectivity and connection. I look at this as a tripod sort of. On top of the tripod would be our customer, our consumer, and the three legs of the tripod would be the agency, the carrier, and the vendors, and how we all work together to help each other and help the industry present the best, or present up to that consumer the best that we can. So with the experts that we have on here, they'll all have a different perspective from a different angle, but those of you listening, this is a really good opportunity to kind of hear it from all sides. So first question I want to ask, and then I'm going to ask the main question, and then I'll call on you to answer, but what is the expectation in today's current climate of connectivity? So let's start at an agency level. So as an agency, what is the one, let's say agency to carrier, what is the one thing that I wish carriers knew when it came to expectations on connectivity? And Ryan, I'll start with you.
Access to data. I think access to data today is probably the most critical thing, because agencies want to leverage that to drive value for the clients. And so when we work with, 10 carriers and there's not a standardized format for claims, let's just say, it's very difficult to ingest those claims, create something compelling that's valuable. And so I think as we look at what we would really want from the carriers is, easy access to data so we can turn that into valuable deliverables for our clients.
I think that's spot on, Ryan. I think I think what I would love is for Chris to comment on how that's being addressed right now, like at the data level from a carrier perspective. Obviously, what Ryan said for most of us, we know that, right? But Chris, talk to us about what initiatives carriers in general and even specific to Westfield are working on to sort of go in that direction.
Yeah, it's a fantastic question, and just the expectations going across the board and each of the legs of the stool. I love the tripod example, Rick. I think that's fantastic because, I guess shameless plug for all of us here, the customer doesn't win unless we're all on the same page.
Right.
But, the connectivity thing is huge, and I think the message we would have for all carriers out there is that we are trying and we really want to engage in the connectivity side of things. When it comes to data specifically, Ryan is dead on. We're starting to get asked as a carrier, and I assume anybody in my seat across the industry is getting asked more and more for data. What is unique about it is every agency seems to have a slightly different ask. They're looking for different types of data to consume, whether it's more on the production side, it's more on the class code side, it's more on core production, it could be claims, it could be billing. And there's so many partners out there or firms out there that are trying to solve for that for agencies that the capabilities to plug into that can oftentimes be daunting. And so there's customized APIs. Some are asking for them still in more traditional download files. So it's one of those things that I think as a carrier, we absolutely know we definitely want to figure out, and we want to partner with the right agencies to solve for all of the right things. But when you start to look at what is specifically being asked for, sometimes it's actually the raw data or the raw elements so that the agency themselves can actually make their own data, and you run the risk of having the same terms And another thing that's out there too, and we could maybe talk about this on down the line, is the growing recognition that we all have to have around privacy and compliance, and what data actually should we be exposing and sharing across multiple platforms.
And I think what is interesting, you sort of touched on it, and I'll be a little less soft about it here, Chris, is that we have a wide range of technology expertise or ability to even be technologically savvy at the agencies. Because you have an agency, and Ryan knows this, because I know the agencies that Ryan works with. They've got some agencies in his patch that are top of the top for tech savvy, wanting to leverage as much as they can, use technology. And then we all know, and there's somebody listening right now that knows, that their agency needs to catch up a little bit. So to your point, Chris, I think there's this incredible amount of uneven need across the connectivity spectrum, right? I want to shift into, like, I want to ask Joyce the same question I asked Ryan. Like, what's the one thing that you see from an agency perspective to the carrier level that is where the connectivity could like, where you see the biggest gain we could get?
So I think perspective becomes a reality. So for us, to our carriers and the partners that we choose, our consumers, the end user, doesn't care and doesn't even understand the players on the field. So I think part of that becomes make it easy, because our consumers need to have a quick, easy solution, but a complete solution. If we are only able to give them policy data, then they're going to find somewhere through another insurance channel to take that leap and move away. So I think all inclusive, it's not this block and this block. It is that pyramid that we need, that is that complete piece. Because as agencies, we have a need, but the consumer drives us to that immediate other need. And so I think that one thing is the complete picture. Look at it from the consumer and work backwards as quickly as possible and as completely as possible.
I agree with that. And so to bring in the third leg of that tripod, I want to ask Sharmila, who's out talking to agencies and working on strategy to solve for some of these problems with technology within our company. Everybody out there knows us as a management system company, but we are so much more broad than that. And we are really, the move to take Sharmila into this position proves that our strategy is broadened so much to helping this entire industry work together and use technology to make that happen. Sharmila, your thoughts on any of these comments or your own position on it?
I think all of the comments so far are spot on. I think the brokers absolutely need access to data. They need it in some consistent format that can be received and processed automatically, you know, rather than having to cater to the unique nuances of, you know, hundreds and hundreds of carriers' capabilities today. I think, you know, at Vertafore, we're in a very unique position, and you kind of referenced the breadth of our capabilities. We have traditionally been known as the agency management system company. The truth is we have tens of thousands of agencies on our agency management systems. We also have hundreds of carriers connecting into one or more of our solutions today. And therefore, as a leading provider of technology solutions to both sides and many of the connectivity solutions in the middle, like Transact Now or Personal Lines Rating, you know, we have a very big responsibility to be a true partner to this ecosystem that connects the insured to the broker, to the carrier, and all the way back to facilitate this round trip of data that Joyce referenced, right? Which is, how do we, you know, get the data quickly to where it needs to go and have it be as complete as possible, whether that's submitting commercial lines business up to the carrier or delivering a bound policy back to the insured. So I think, you know, because we have that breadth in the ecosystem, you know, we have a unique and very important responsibility to help connect all of the dots and help that data pass back and forth in a way that's real time and complete.
And I think everyone made a comment that resonates with people that are listening. I mean, I'm sitting here going, yep, what Chris said, yep, what Ryan said, yep, what Joy said. And then Sharmila kind of tied that together. So for me, if we take a step back, Joy said something that I want to address here in this whole connecting the dots or connectivity, that thing on top still is that consumer. So the expectation has changed so dramatically of what a consumer is used to dealing with, not only the younger generations that grew up digital natives, but even to, you know, my mom is on the phone, is on her phone more than I'm on my phone. She is on Facebook. She is an Amazon wizard. I mean, it is the way, and you know, that's just the way the expectation has changed. So talk to me about how that affects the connectivity. So if I'm a consumer and I am living in the world that I live in, which is very fast, very, you know, it's responsive. And then to Joyce's point, I'm not getting something from my carrier fast enough that the consumer doesn't care. If the agency doesn't have an up-to-date website, the consumer will go elsewhere, whatever that is. So I'll start with you, Joyce, and let's dig a little deeper into the expectation of that consumer.
I think the consumer today assumes that we as agencies have exactly the same thing that our partners, any partner that we have, has presented to them. When they call the agency and we have to ask, tell me what you have, describe to me what you have, because the lines have blurred. An old agency model was we were just the residual place where someone called to make a car change. Now we are the secondary piece. We are the recipient of the car change from the customer itself, expecting that automatic ID card, that automatic confirmation. They don't understand a wait time. So I think agencies are under attack from the consumer in a very good way that helps this industry push forward to say we need it now, because that's the life that we live across all aspects of our life. We can log on, we can make a payment to our utility company and see that automatically. It's a once and done. We need to become more once and done, because that's our expectation. If I can't, as an agent, answer your question and figure out, and I have to say, let me call the company, that's a mark against us today in many aspects. And when my consumer has to call me, and I'm not calling them, and I'm now reactive, it changes that relationship completely.
And so what that says to me, like I'm nodding my head because I couldn't agree more. And I want to kick it over to Ryan on this, because Ryan works with a lot of agencies, with a lot of customers, and that most of his agency is not the 1, 2, 3 mom and pop size shops, but that doesn't change the consumer. That doesn't change who they're working with. So Ryan, just sort of piggyback on what Joyce is saying and kind of give me your perspective on that expectation of the consumer. You and I have had consumer conversations before, and you know, banging our head against the wall at certain things that just aren't changing fast enough. So,
I think from my perspective, agencies don't spend enough time on segmentation. You know, when we think about consumers, we think about this like kind of nebulous blob that's sitting out there in space, and all of them want the same thing. And what I try to help my agencies with is figure out, like, all right, so for core personal lines, if that's a heavy shop, if that's a heavy segment of your business, what's value look like to core personal lines? Because that's much different than high net worth and much different than risk management accounts, you know? And so I like to think through how an agency is segmented out, what's the class of client they've decided to go after, and then figure out what does that look like? What is the expectation there? I mean, for core personal lines, if you're not texting, you're probably doing it wrong, because right. that's people yep. want to be able to text. If you're doing high net worth and you're not like figuring out how to do wealth management offices and make wealth managers easier to do business with their clients and concierge service, you're probably not, you know, you're probably not doing what they need. And so I think instead of taking consumer as a huge block, slice that up into that's what correct. Your segments are, figure out what value looks like in their chain, drive towards those that have the most systemic effect across the board, and you'll start to see some differences, I think.
Well, and what I think where Ryan hits a great point here is if you think about it from that perspective, we know that agencies spend so much time working in their business that they don't spend enough time working on their business. And this is a great point right here is the time when you start to do you know if I asked you as an agency owner or someone that in a position of leadership in an agency, do you know what kind of consumers you have as a collective? In, are you, if you're a generalist and you have a little bit of this and a little bit of that, hard to answer the question. But if you are, like Ryan said, if you're heavy personal lines or you risk management or you high net worth, if there are agencies that just do high net worth, what does that consumer look like? And finding that consumer, meeting that consumer where they want to be met and leveraging technology to do that. I think that's spot on. It's just a subtle shift in gears. I kind of want to talk about, so we have the tripod and we've got Sharmila representing one of the legs. We've got Chris representing one of the legs, and we've got Joyce representing one of the legs. And then Ryan sort of working at all three levels because he works so closely with the vendors, with the carriers, and obviously with the agencies. But let's talk about what being a good partner looks like. What does that mean to you as from your leg of the tripod, again, with the consumer on top? What does it look like? Whether that's with your agencies, what that shows all the way to a consumer, working with vendors like what Sharmila mentioned. Start with you, Chris. What does a good partner mean to you?
I think that's a great question. And it too is evolving real time, just like the conversation around consumer demands. Agencies are changing at a pace that we've never seen before, becoming more sophisticated, there's more disparate models out there, whether you're dealing with an entity as large and complex as Ryan's, some of the very large networks and franchisers, those that are PE backed or owned by, or publicly traded, I guess you would say. And there's still in the middle of the bell curve, there are tens of thousands, really, of privately held agencies on Main Street trying to do the right thing. So a company like ours, a super regional carrier, we do business in over 20 states, but we're not national, but we engage very well with all of those segments. So what it looks like to be a good partner does end up looking very different based on each of those models. So as a company that's been around 171 years, relationships are still very much at the core of who we are, very much at the core of the brand. While we're centering up on the customer, which we've all agreed we need to do in those demands, how that lines up with the agencies we work with starts to look very differently based on each of the individual models. So there are agencies out there still dozens upon dozens upon dozens upon dozens where the partnership is one-to-one. It's very much relationshipy. It's phone calls. It's in-person visits. And you're helping them at the account level. Then you go to the other end of the spectrum, very large entities that have centralized their sales centers for really their entire operating footprint. They don't want, nor do they need carrier folks in their offices. They need very quick service. They need very fast turnaround. They need right. effective tools and solutions because they're really skinnying down their carrier partnerships. So the challenge for a carrier and the thing that we're all willing to do, but we're all in the middle of real time trying to solve for is that partnership looks very different by type of agency and what each of those agencies is trying to solve for.
Chris, that's really like what you said to me that really resonates is that it's like for your level that there's still those agencies that it's all about relationship. But what I want to touch on there is it's all about relationship, right? This business, our differentiator in the independent space is still that relationship. We have to meet them where they want to be, and we have to use technology or connectivity to meet them there. And to Ryan's point of segmenting and knowing who they are makes perfect sense. But at the end of the day, That is our differentiator. If I want to go get insurance, I can easily get it online. I can just go to Geico. And
That's it. I mean,
but
I'm sorry to interrupt you. I mean,
yeah, go ahead, Chris.
Well, I was going to say, you're absolutely right. I mean, the relationship is at the core, and you can look at the market share data, and there are always going to be consumers, regardless of whether they're personal lines or wherever they're at, that are looking for a more direct, no touch solution out there. But the independent agencies, the independent channels market share data has remained relatively strong to this, all of this that's going on in the marketplace. It's just that relationship looks a little bit different based on, you know, based on agency model, and it will always be at the core, I think, of what differentiates the value prop that an independent agency can offer a customer. And the technology that we all talk about really should just enable that and should make us able to provide that relationship solution better, quicker, faster, when, where, and how the customer wants, but it is still that relationship.
I'm going to send it over to Sharmila, but before I do, everybody listening in right now, go in. We're going to have a segment at the end here for Q&A. So go into the Q&A section. If you have a question for the panel or for someone in particular on the panel, type in your question at the end. I'll try to get to as many of those questions as we can. We probably won't get to all of them, but put questions in the Q&A now, type them in, and we will try to get to them. Sharmila, I'm going to kick it over to you now. And from what Chris said, obviously you have this connection between the agency and the carrier, and then you're sort of a lot of times the conduit to that. And with all of the stuff you're working on and the strategies that you're putting in place, what are you seeing as where the best partners are, what it means to be a good partner in this, not only from your perspective, but as the agencies and the carriers are trying to work together, but also from your perspective?
Great. So what I loved about what Chris just said is, you know, how he described the spectrum of what good partnership means and is defined, you know, how it's defined by the industry, right? You're on the one hand, one side of the spectrum, you've got deep, deep relationships, right? You know, very, very person to person. On the other side of the spectrum, it's give it to me as fast and easily as humanly possible, right? And kind of help me cut all of the manual processing out of my, you know, my workflows. I think, you know, I referenced the breadth of market leadership that we have in both the agency and the carrier space. And I think, you know, given that, we've seen it all. And part of the responsibility that we have to be a good partner to this industry, to this, you know, independent agency ecosystem, is to enable all of it, right? To basically provide the technology that not only enables more human interaction and less manual work, but over time strengthens those relationships, right, to forge better partnerships between the agencies and the carriers, whether that's more time freed up to spend on face-to-face, person-to-person conversations with clients and carriers and underwriters, or whether it's, you know, just cutting out all of the manual work that happens and over time actually strengthening those agency-carrier partnerships. So I think, you know, that's what it is from our perspective. On the agency and the broker side, right, you know, the example of a really, really good partnership that I've seen, you know, happens when an agency says, look, you know, these are the things that are causing me pain in my operations, right? From an agency perspective, you know, what most, you know, kind of brokers kind of in mid-market agencies are starting to, you know, not starting to focus on, but putting more emphasis on nowadays is improving both the employee experience as well as the client experience, right? And before, it used to be a lot about client experience, but we're now finding in this war for talent in the industry that employee experience is just as important and increasingly so. And so what that translates to is not only continued pressure on the carriers to meet them, you know, to meet them where they are and provide data in real time as much as possible, right? And, you know, turning around commercial quotes in 2 days, not 3 weeks. It's also kind of pressure on us, you know, the vendors and the suppliers of the technology to independent agents to be much more modern, right? Modern UI, modern UX, you know, streamlined processes, cut all of the manual processing out of the workflows. And I think that pressure will continue to mount such that all three parts of the tripod, right, are kind of, you know, raised with this tide of doing better for both employees and insurance.
I think that's, can I yeah, say Ryan, get in here.
So, I mean, like tech is cool, but really the vendors that win in the future are going to be those that invest in figuring out how to drive value at the desktop with their product. Right. Right now we're inundated with product. There's more crap coming at agencies than ever before. It's so hard to understand what's actually going to move the needle.
There's 7,000 people at InsurTech last week in Vegas.
Like, right. And so, I mean, what I want to see is those vendors that truly invest in their product and helping agencies make it valuable to them. You know, there's just not enough time. That does not happen nearly enough. It's about the sell. It's about here you go, you're implemented, and we're walking out, which is why we have our agencies using 25% of the technology, getting frustrated, flipping systems. It's because the vendors are not spending enough time where they need to. And it's like you said, Sherman, it's about employee engagement, helping them understand how to drive that technology to help them make their day better. That wins out.
It's operational efficiency. If I could give you back, you know, I was talking to somebody who had 100 people that worked in their office. And he said, if I could give them back 10 minutes a day each, start doing the math on what that looks like for operational efficiency. And that comes at the level of the carrier. It comes at the level of, and all the way to the beginning, which is the training as they onboard them into the agency. And it comes at the level of the vendor. You're spot on, Ryan. We got a lot of questions and I want to kind of get off of this. Joyce, I'm gonna shift to you now, and I kind of want to get into like what's the biggest change in this space, the connectivity world right now that's currently happening, either agency, carrier, within the connectivity world. What is the biggest change? That's one. You can answer any of these. What is the biggest change right now? What does the future hold, or what is the next big thing? And I'm going to ask all four of you, try to keep it about, give me 60 seconds on this. I just want to make sure we're getting through all of our great questions. So start with you, Joyce.
I think the biggest change is we've moved from the need for data, which is super important, but we're also challenged by those that are sitting at the desktop and the ability for them in the flood of technology to consume what's coming at them. And that's from an employee level. It's overwhelming to work on 500 emails a day plus 50 renewals and consume all that while the phone is ringing with a consumer that wants it now. So I think the biggest change is just the flood of the data that's coming at us from multiple sources. And the future holds for those that can solve the problem and find the solution that works for them. Chris kind of alluded to this, as Sharmella. That independent agency can mean that we're all independent, but that also means we all do it a different way. So having partners that know us as well as we know our consumers and we mirror that can make us all win. But I just think the flood of data and the different avenues, there's a tidal wave coming for all of us, and solving that before it hits us all is the big need.
Well, I'm out here in San Diego, so when you said waves, I kind of got distracted for a minute, but definitely not tidal waves. Ryan, you're up. Go. What's the big? Sorry, had to say that. What's the changes currently happening, or what's the next big thing in your eyes?
I mean, I think you got short term and near term. I think you're going to have more niches in agencies. Because like you said, it's a relationship business. For independent agencies to maintain those relationships, they're going to have a depth of expertise to really have that value proposition. They're going to drive employees to that and buy technology that satiates those niches. I think that there will be a continued look at employee engagement as we catch up to the more modern industries. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, I think that there's just some interesting tech out there that's helping consumers understand why they buy stuff. What we see in benchmarking, I mean, that's a huge ask that we see today. What we see in having them understand what their peers are buying or what claims their peers are having for larger clients. But I really do think it's going to be a focus on the niches for the agencies that want to be really relevant long term, to find something that they're awesome at. Operational efficiency comes from that. Profitability comes from that.
I agree. Sharmella?
So in a nutshell, you know, just coming off of the rush of InsurTech last week and all of the buzz and energy, I would say that two big things are happening in the industry. One is around automation and the other is around analytics. And on the automation side, I think there's a ton of it, small InsurTechs coming up that are trying to solve the problem that of commercial lines and commercial lines still not being at the level of automation that personal lines has been at for a long time, particularly at the small commercial end of the spectrum. So I think that's one, and we'll start to see that shift and change. The second piece around the analytics, you know, there's a lot of applications and use cases kind of coming up now, InsurTechs coming up around this concept of using data to drive better decisions, but also incorporating artificial intelligence into systems and applications and solutions that can automate some of these kind of mundane manual tasks. I'll use policy checking as a great example, right? Checking a 15, 30 page policy document, you know, relative to last year's expiring policy, right? It's just something that shouldn't require any human intervention anymore, but still does. And I think that's starting to change also as many offshore vendors and, you know, onshore, you know, InsurTech start to tackle that problem.
Again, a good point. And I, after having been at InsurTech last week at ITC 2019, I got the same impression that the people were all thinking that way, that it was like, you know, I don't want to use Joyce's, but the tidal wave was rolling in that direction, right? That's, and again, I got sidetracked. So Chris, over to you, your turn.
Yeah, the good thing and the good and the bad about going last on a question like that is all the good stuff's been said. But so I would echo.
You can just say ditto and we can move on. I mean, ditto and we go.
Yeah, don't know me very well. I have to get in my 2 cents. But seriously, I there's some very good points made there. And Camilla, your point about the focus on small commercial in the InsurTech space is, I think, worth emphasizing here. A carrier like ours is investing heavily in the small commercial space as well. And it is so highly fragmented, and it's going through this transformation that personal lines did in the early 2000s. And I think that'll be very, very interesting to watch. And then there's a lot of talk about specialization, the integration of data, but in the context of connectivity, specifically as carriers, we get asked more and more and more for direct interaction with a variety of different systems via an API. Yep. Which for many legacy carriers like us is a journey that we're on. So to undo decades and decades of legacy processes, many built on very old platforms, to go through and update all of that and open up an API communication model to these countless asks is something that we're really working with. But one of the things, and it's become maybe just sort of a pet topic of my own, and I think more and more people have this conversation behind closed doors, but when it comes to data, the integration of AI and modeling consumer behavior, I mean, we've become very accustomed to that in a lot of portions of our lives. But what is interesting about our industry is that we house a lot of information and has historically been called PII. And when you think about what's happening in Europe with the GDPR, what states like New York and California and the Carolinas are starting to do with imposing privacy compliance regulation on agencies and carriers, I think it'll be a really, really interesting conversation in 5 to 10 years to see how this proliferation of utilization of consumer and third-party data together to create a better customer experience, but yet coupled with the fact that consumers are really starting to struggle with what about them is known and how public it is being used.
Yeah, Chris, that's a good, I mean, it is more difficult when you have to go forth, especially when like I'm sitting here going, yep, yep, yep. And you're all making sense to me, but that's a good point, Chris. And I think we have, what I'm really happy about so far in this is that the perspective is slightly different, but one of the main sort of the antithesis of this is how do we continue to better ourselves in whatever, like at the carrier level for you, Chris, Sharmila, at the vendor level for you, and hearing what Ryan says and being able to nod your head and say, yes, that's what we're working on. And at Ryan's level, where he's working differently at different levels, when he's in the tech and when he's trying to leverage data and when he's talking about benchmarking, I know exactly what he's talking about.
and how that's working in the marketplace right now. And enjoys working specifically at her agency and saying, okay, this is what we need to stay relevant, to grow, to be successful. I think there's great perspective here. Once again, let me just tell everybody, write your questions down. I'm about to shift gears and move over. What?
Come on, brother. Just one thing. Because, okay, at ITC, a lot of was these no-code solutions. No-code, low-code solutions, right? And so that's something that I think that our listeners should absolutely have an awareness of.
Write it down. Everybody write it down and go learn about it. No-code.
Low-code. Yeah. And that's just stuff that you can build on your own without programming to integrate stuff together. I think that's the future of technology as we move down the road.
You said low code, but when you speak, Ryan, it sounds more like loco.
Loco, baby. I'm loco, baby. Come on,
Chris,
baby.
Chris, did you want to comment on that?
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, you know, Rick, you were trying to pull everything together here in slightly different perspectives based on the point of view that each of us, you know, each of us have from our current roles. But it's worth noting here at the top of this thing, and again, I'm going back to the analogy used at the beginning, still at the core of everybody's point of view and everybody's, I guess everybody's passion is the customer in all of this. So we're all trying to solve for a better customer experience and a better customer journey for the types of clients that we wish to attract and think we can do a great job at serving. So that's, you know, that's worth keeping on, you know, on the surface here, is that the customer still really resonates with all of us.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So here we go.
Rick, can I jump in there just one thing with Chris?
Always. It's tough to get a word in edgewise with me, Ryan, and Chris on the phone. I know that as a fact. So Joyce, jump right in.
So I do want to bring something we haven't talked about yet, and that is all of these solutions we're talking about are great, but then we throw in this silly compliance thing that we all have, and I think that's what stops us. So we have the loco that Ryan's talking about. We have the customer, but the customer doesn't care about the compliance that we have. Chris talked about PII, but it's almost like that boiler machinery coverage that is a non-tangible, and compliance is non-tangible for most people. And when we say to Rick, hey, I can't just email you an ID card, though, because of PII, those are the solutions that are keeping us from moving forward and giving that customer that end result. And that's what some of the connectivity opportunities we have are, to find one stream or multiple one streams that are quick and easy for everyone.
Well, and I think if you tie that together, Joyce, for me, it's working together. Like for me, it's about that the tripods cannot be these disparate pieces of the thing. You know, I keep going back to my relationship with Ryan, but Ryan and I have conversations fairly regularly, and we're talking about ways to tie agency, carrier, and vendor together, because that's how this works. And you're mm-hmm. you're spot on. I was talking to an agency last week, and they're like, why can't I just push a button and plug in the API like I would with my Outlook? And that makes perfect sense in the Outlook world. But when you start talking about compliance and data sharing and privacy and things like that, it changes the way that relationship works. So the best way to get to a solution is to be working hand in hand with the carrier, hand in hand with those technology vendors, and then making sure your agency is cooperating as well. That's how you tie it all together. Sharmila, do you want to comment on that?
I do. I was hoping you were going to give me my two.
Go.
So I agree with all of these points, right? I think one of the things that we haven't actually explored yet in this conversation, kind of under the umbrella of connecting the dots, I think we've talked a lot about connecting the macro dots, right, between agency, carrier, and client. You know, but there's also a set of micro dots within the ecosystem of the, you know, the agency, if you will, right? You know, we talked about insurtechs and how you're plugging, you know, Ryan talked about niches earlier. You know, agencies are going to be finding kind of niche solutions to solve niche problems. And it's just as important to help, especially from the Vertafore perspective, connect all of the dots within an agency's ecosystem together, right? And allow that data to pass between systems that are within the four walls of an agency, whether that's a front-end CRM or it's a, you know, kind of a niche line quoting solution, right? Or the cover hounds or the cover wallets, and being able to kind of connect all of those dots. But as Joyce says, protect the data as it kind of moves, right? So, you know, I think that's also a really important shift in the industry, kind of the shift away from closed platforms to open architecture, open platforms, APIs, right? That enable all of this connectivity to happen. So that's what I would add.
I love it. I love it. Okay. I'm going to, anybody else want to cut me off or can I move on?
Go.
All right, we're going to jump into some Q&A right now. So last chance, anybody out there, you have a question for these people, send it in. I've got a question from an anonymous attendee. I want to read this because to me, it's important, and I want to make sure we knock out some of these questions. But when we get to this Q&A now for my panelists, give me a little hand raise, and then I'll let you go to town on this. The question is, great webinar thus far. Can we address employee benefits and carrier data? It's a tale as old as time, but will we ever get download, in quotes? SBCs have been standardized, and I get not the same as Accord forms, but it's a start we can build on, ? Raise your hand and go. Anyone? Someone? Bueller?
Sure, I'll take that question.
Camilla, go.
Yes, so we actually brought a group of large benefits brokers and benefits carriers together in the Vertafore offices last summer. And connectivity and the passing of data was a huge topic and massive pain point on the broker side. You know, because benefits doesn't lend itself to the same Accord-based structure that property and casualty does, it's probably a little further behind in terms of, you know, employee benefits is on the journey of structured data and being able to kind of pass that back and forth in real time. Carriers are also kind of experiencing similar constraints to carriers on the P&C side with a mishmash of legacy systems, right? Some with as many as, you know, 12, 14 kind of in-house systems that's really difficult to stitch together and kind of, you know, provide a consistent, you know, response to the broker, whether it's a quote or something else. That said, there's enough focus on it from us at Vertafore, but also kind of within the industry with a small group of brokers and carriers that we do want to figure this out. And it's not going to be easy, and we'll have to start kind of small and expand from there. But the attention, the focus, and the investment is there to help figure it out. There's also a number of new insurtech companies that are actually plugging into some of those back-end carrier systems, and we're looking to expand our partnerships with some of those insurtechs, right, so that brokers can plug in whoever they want and leverage that, right, you know, and have it connect directly into the benefits management system, which for us is BenefitPoint.
Love it. It would almost feel like I wrote that question so my friend at Vertafore could answer it, but that is not the case. That came from someone on the episode. So anybody else want to get on that one, or should I go to another one? All right, I'm moving on. Next question. This is a good one too. I like this. Vendors are not spending enough time on user experience design and intelligence in their systems. How do we work together better to build systems that take into consideration effectiveness and efficiencies of workflow and data? Ryan had his finger up, not his hand.
I mean, I think that's a loaded question, because I go back to how much does the agency put an emphasis on training? How much, mm-hmm. you know, is that inundated in the culture? Are they really giving it a shot? Too often I see, you know, a solution be purchased, put in place, and there's just no push behind it. And so I actually don't want more features yet. I really want to understand, how do we leverage the features that we have today effectively? You know, if my agencies, I try to get my agencies to slow down. Let's figure out how to use this stuff and create a process for change management and adoption. So when Carmilla creates something awesome, or Vertafore brings out something really whiz bang, we actually have the capacity and the capability to leverage it across the enterprise, not just one or two power users. And so, you know, that is a hard thing, I think, for vendors to look at too, when they provide so much to the end user, and then the end user uses like 8% of the solution and gets frustrated because it doesn't do what they want it to do. I mean, that's kind of my take on it.
I agree with you, Ryan. Anybody else want to comment on that one?
I mean, maybe just something, I guess, additional.
Chris, you didn't raise your hand, so it's Joyce's turn, and you can go.
Joyce can have it. Chivalry is not dead. I'll gladly give the floor to Joyce.
Oh, Chris,
thank you.
She
followed the rules and raised her hand, so she needs to go next.
I also just want to throw in there that some of the vendors do an excellent job. However, agencies still need to get up to speed with new technology, not just the intuitiveness of the product, but showing them what they're solving. So the business solution, I take some of the old things that we did as agencies that are still happening today, hand delivering a policy, those things. If the vendor showed the business solution rather than the features, it would be easier to adopt, because it many times the end user of a product says, this is in addition to what I'm already doing, not this is the solution to something that I shouldn't be doing today to be more efficient. So okay. Chris, I'm going to go to you now.
You're up.
That was great. You stole my answer. No, I'm just kidding, Joyce. No, I think both. I do think the comments that Ryan and Joyce shared are spot on, and the comment that agencies are not currently maximizing their current investments with the tools already at their disposal, I think is very, very real. You know, another thing is that it's you know, what we've seen on our side, and I suspect that agencies are feeling this as well. You know, some of the more, I guess, tenured vendors in the space actually understand the independent agency model and the dynamic between the customer, the agency, and the carrier. But there are a ton of new entrants almost daily that, through a very, very, very narrow lens that they're solving for, they're 100% correct. But they're inundating agencies with all these solutions to solve for one very small, tiny problem, and not really thinking about what's on either side of that solution. So it becomes really hard for an agency and a carrier to digest, how do you take all of these things in a world where there's still some anxiety and fear that on the agency side, that if you're not embracing all of these new tools and these insurtechs, that you're going out of business yesterday if you don't sign the check. So, you know, it's this really interesting dynamic around how agencies are thinking about maximizing all this technology. And I like Ryan's thing, like, slow down, let's really understand your current operating procedures, and let's really find opportunities to improve the margins for each of the steps before you start trying to insert new tools or new solutions into your workflow.
Well, and I think the beauty of someone like Assurex is Ryan's organization is that they have a Ryan. I think where some of this breaks down, where we've got hundreds of people listening in on this, and where this breaks down for them is they don't have a Ryan, so they have to figure it out on their own. And then Ryan's advice is even more impactful. Like, well, slow down.
Well, and it doesn't help that the vendors pitch a solution that looks like a 5-minute implementation for the consumer, for the agency. I mean, you know, so the vendor, and we get this reticence to ingest technology because they've been burned by it so many times. And so it's on the vendors to help the agencies get that stuff in place. It's on the agencies to write good insurance and give good losses and control all that stuff. The vendors they don't spend enough time there. I fundamentally believe that, and I think in a lot of cases it's just a sham. I push back on my agencies. Make your vendors give you a hell of a good implementation plan, or don't buy the product.
Yeah. You know, and I think go ahead, Sharmila. I was going to comment on that, but I'll go after you.
Well, I was just going to add, you know, this may sound like a marketing plug. I really don't mean it to be.
Shameless.
Okay, awesome. I don't have the props behind me that Chris does, so I'm just going to do it verbally. But, you know, what I would say is that's how our Orange Partner Program was reborn, right? Because most agencies don't have Orion to help them sort through the masses and masses of insurtech companies and new solutions that are coming online. And so the goal of the partner program is, you know, let Vertifor be your Ryan, right? Like, let us be your Ryan to kind of help sort through that mess. You know, all of the partners that we're adding to the program have been carefully curated to make sure that they do solve a meaningful problem for masses of agencies and will have, and there's an off-the-shelf integration that you can leverage to take advantage of that capability without having to do your own implementation and having to go through all that work and make the mistakes, right? Let us make them for you.
Well, and I think Joyce has that same, you know, thing going on in her agency. She's able to do that at the agency level. Ryan's able to do that at the network level. Sharmil, I'm glad you said that, because that was my thought, is find relationships with vendors that are doing things to help the job get easier. Does that mean that every solution is for every agency? Of course not. To Ryan's point, slow down, figure out what works, get it done. Okay, so I would love to chat with you guys for hours. This is really good stuff. I'm hoping that they'll let us do this again sometime. Because I think we're getting great questions. We didn't get to everybody's questions. I apologize. But what I do want to do here is give you each about 30, 45 seconds to kind of wrap it up. Those of you that listen to my podcast, what's your big piece of advice for the industry? But in this case, what's your big piece of advice as it relates to this conversation? And then tell us how to get a hold of you. Like, if someone out there wanted to find you, is it LinkedIn? Is it obviously for the two gentlemen? Is it your podcast? Like, what is the best way to do that? And we'll start with Chris.
Yeah, quick takeaway. I would sum this up right now as I think understand, if you're an agent out there or you're a tech vendor listening, that the carriers that are in your purview or those that you're partnering with, in their own unique way, all genuinely care about the plight and the journey that we're on and are trying to solve for it in their own unique way. Meanwhile, reconciling our own legacy processes and trying to solve our operational situation is, along the way as well. But it's something that we spend a great deal of time talking about. Again, you've given me the opportunity to plug the podcast. It's called Closing the Gap. You can find me on LinkedIn. I think it was on the screen. I'm also on Twitter and Instagram publicly. Love to interact with folks. And the whole premise of the podcast, even though it is sponsored by and I really I'm enabled to do it because I'm a part of Westfield, it is almost never do you hear a Westfield commercial. It is us bringing this kind of thought leadership and the folks we've met from our work in and around the industry and exposing agencies and small businesses to thought leadership and operational folks who are really doing well out there, and we want to share that with you.
That's good stuff. Closing the Gap. I can vouch for it being a really good listen. If you're interested in learning more about this industry, not always great places to find information. That podcast is a great thought leadership piece, Chris. I'm really happy that you're doing it. Thank you for that. Thanks for being on the show. Ryan, you're up next.
If I'm an agency, I stop just accepting what the vendors give you. Push back on them to help you get that technology in place. You know, the more we push back, the more we demand, you know, some kind of valuable quantitative, you know, thing down the stretch with their technology, that will change their behaviors. That's the only, if we keep buying their stuff and not getting value out of it and churning it, it doesn't help us at all. So we as an industry need to push our vendor partners to be able to put that stuff in place and help us leverage it for value. If you want to get a hold of me, I'm on LinkedIn. Easy as hell to find, Ryan Deeds.
Easy to find.
That's right. I'm all over the place on LinkedIn. And then I got a podcast. If you really want to be, you know, bored in the shower, it's a great listen about insurance agencies and technology and employee engagement and all that jazz, Digital Broker.
Yeah, it's another good listen. I would say that Ryan's podcast and Chris's podcast are two of the top three podcasts in the industry. I'll talk about that later in a moment. Closer to the end.
Followed only by yours, right, Rick?
Joyce, you're up next.
I think we all have opportunities. We all have great partners that we work with. And work around. I think the industry gives us those opportunities to make our agencies become who we want to be. You can find me on LinkedIn.
All right. Joyce, thanks for being on. Great insight from you. We really appreciate you. Sharmila?
So I would echo what Ryan said, which is put pressure on your vendors, especially on the agency side. There may be capabilities that you have that you're not using, or capabilities that you need that we don't offer. You know, really put pressure on those vendors, because it helps us make you successful. The second thing I would add is, you know, on the carrier side, the carriers really have made huge strides in the past couple of years, whether it's integrating kind of, you know, a bunch of legacy systems or modernizing them or building front-end APIs to better connect with the channel. I think they've made huge strides, which means that, you know, Vertafore can and will, you know, take the lead in terms of kind of driving the industry forward and kind of connecting the ecosystem in better ways, kind of leveraging all of those investments. And we're excited to do that. You can also reach me on LinkedIn.
LinkedIn for me as well. I just want to put a bow on this whole thing. For me, it still goes down to where we started. It's working with the tripod model. It's putting, for lack of a better term, having that consumer or prospect on a pedestal that we can strive for greatness with. And it really comes down to the idea that, you know, Ryan, you know, said it. He's like, challenge your vendors. That's okay. We want that challenge. Sharmila wants to have a conversation with Ryan and be better. Challenge your carriers. Carriers, challenge your agencies. And in the middle there, somebody like a Vertafore that's out there trying to do right by this industry, I think that's where we win. I think when we tie those together, work together, use each other's input, like that, you know, to see it from a different lens like we are today, is where we really can win. And you can find me on LinkedIn. Please respond to this. If you love this, send me a note on LinkedIn. I'd love to be able to kick that over to marketing so we can do more of these, get these smart folks back on. And then the number one podcast, of course, that you must listen to is the Vertafore Insurance Podcast, affectionately known as the VIP. I am the host, and similar to Ryan and Chris's, it's a thought leadership thing. Great guests, incredible information. Go subscribe to any of these three podcasts. Listen to all of them, and you'll be smarter for it. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Vertafore Insurance Podcast, and tune in next Thursday for a brand new episode. You can find more episodes at vertafore.com under the Resources tab or wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you subscribe, and if you enjoyed this episode, share it on social and spread the word. Don't forget to join in on the conversation and recommend future guests by messaging us at Vertafore.